Blog Talk Radio.
Started. It's lucky. It's a good thing that the weekend's coming around because I'm ready to relax. I'm ready to spend the rest of the weekend just doing absolutely nothing except playing football tomorrow, flag football in the park, and then of course watching football all day on Sunday. So here we go. The first thing we want to talk about today is I'd like to bring up today is the fact that the Arizona boycott has failed. The bribery, the shakedown of Arizona has been concluded and is an utter failure, and I'm delighted to report that. That is the case. The Arizona law requiring illegals to show some identification to prove that they are United States citizens and they have the right to be here was met with protest by not only Hispanics, some Hispanic groups, but a lot of gringos too. And I am happy to report that so far the efforts have failed. Well, let's start the show with it being Friday. Friday, November 19th, 2010. The time is 2100. We're here in Washington, D.C., United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. A boycott brought on by Arizona's controversial immigration crackdown raised the specter of vacant convention centers, desolate sports arenas, and struggling businesses throughout the state. Sure did. And but 7 months later, the boycott's effects are coming into focus. Oh, and what have we here? Showing it has been a disruptive force, but nowhere near as crippling as originally feared. Thank God for that. Businesses have lost lucrative contracts, and conventions have relocated. Performers called off conferences, and cities and counties in about a dozen states passed resolutions to avoid doing business with Arizona haters. A report released Thursday says the boycott has cost the state $141 million in lost meetings and convention business since Republican Governor Jan Brewer signed the law in April. But the state's economy hasn't come to a screeching halt, as some would have hoped. As some who organized the boycott hoped, in fact, more people went to the Grand Canyon this summer than last year, and more stayed in Arizona's hotels and resorts, according to a review by the Associated Press. The call-in number, if you want to call and join in this topic, is 347-884-8500. I am happy to report that this shakedown has met with at least a measure of failure. And I wonder what my man George Bush would have had to say about all of this if he were still in office. Well, I wonder. Well, let's find out. I think he has a song. You'd like to sing it? Like to hear it? Here it go.
Woo! I don't know if this is a good idea, son. Using funk.
But, Dad, we got to reach out to our base somehow. Besides, I love James Brown.
What will your mother think?
The border goes from coast to coast. Easy to get into here. We got intercontinental overload. Just slip under the fence. It don't make any sense
when there's no documentation.
That's too far. And somehow or some way we're gonna find out who you are.
Sneaking in America.
Trying to hide from immigration.
Sneaking in America.
Across the land. Across the nation.
Sneaking in.
Y'all do better than that. How about all 12 million of you join me?
Sneak in America.
Yeah, I don't know. Wait a minute. You may not be looking for illegals, but you will find them anyway. Under one of those old familiar names, like New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Detroit City.
Detroit City.
Well, James Brown, wherever you are, eat your heart out. Because I think my man W did a fine job with that parody. All right, let's talk about something serious right now. How delighted I am. How delighted and how I sleep so good at night knowing that liberalism, as we know it, is self-destructing. It seems to me that Democrats are still looking for explanations for their stunning rejection in the midterms. Oh, yeah. They're in complete disarray. They're like rats. They're like rats scurrying about, jumping from a sinking ship into a sea of cats. It's beautiful. They've been citing everything from voting rights violations and middle America's racist orientation to America's inability to perceive the genius of President Barack Obama's economic policy. He has none, mind you. He has the porculous spending thing, which he says has saved or created, or was it created or saved, 2 million jobs. Tell that to the 9.6% of those who are currently unemployed. Huh. Well, what have they failed to consider? Well, I'll tell you, since you asked. What they have failed to consider is the albatross of contemporary liberalism. It's like an anchor around their necks, just bringing them down further and further and further into the depths of a sea of irrelevance. Yeah, that was pretty good. Liberalism once embraced the mission of fostering upward mobility and a stronger economy. But liberalism's appeal has, as we know now, diminished. The elections of November 2nd told us that. And it has diminished particularly among middle-class voters, as it has become increasingly control-oriented and economically cumbersome. Yeah, oh yeah. And it's a shame. No, not really. I'm glad they're imploding and self-destructing and going kaput. Has anybody ever heard of the Whig Party? Exactly. That's exactly my point. And that's where Democrats are headed. Toward the abyss. Toward irrelevancy. Toward 60, 70 years from now. What was that party? Anybody heard of I think it was called the Democrat Party. Do you remember that? That's what folks will be saying from, you know, my grandchildren will be saying years from now. Today, according to most recent polling, no more than 1 in 5 voters call themselves liberal. 1 in 5. And, you know, this contrasts with a far broader support for the familiar form of liberalism forged from the 1930s to the 1990s. Democrat presidents from Franklin Roosevelt to Bill Clinton focused largely on basic middle-class concerns such as expanding economic opportunity, property ownership, growth, small businesses, that sort of thing. So now, modern-day liberalism, however, is often ambivalent about expanding the economy, preferring a mix of redistribution with redirection along green lines, green like electric cars and saving the trees and the snipes and the little fishes that swim somewhere in some little tiny creeks in California, which prompted the California government to shut down farming in a certain area so that thousands and thousands of workers, most of them migrant workers, are now out of work and pretty much unable to feed their families and have to go on welfare, which has now added to the unemployment rolls for and the bankruptcy status of the state of California. But liberalism's base of political shock troops, public employee unions like the unions that represent this current administration, they appear only interested just a tiny bit in the overall health of the economy. Not so much that it makes much of a difference as to bring down the overall unemployment number. But in the short run, the diminishment of middle-of-the-road Democrats at the state and national level will probably only worsen these tendencies, leaving a rump party tied to the coastal regions, big cities, and college towns. There, many voters are dependent on government, subsidized students or public employees or wealthy, creative people, college professors and business service providers. So it's a really big, it's a big mess. And the whole idea of redistribution of wealth And Obama's emphasis on an urban agenda that promoted nationally directed smart growth, inefficient light rail, and almost ludicrous plans for a national high-speed rail network. Well, it's just a just an overall failure of a lack of long-term vision for our nation. And I think it is, and you know, you've all heard me, heard what I have to say about this. I believe it's all just done on purpose. It's all something that was done to that's going on to meet a greater goal, like bringing down our overall economy. It has a lot to do with what George Soros wants to do and bring about the overall destruction of the nation. Well, in other news, something a bit more humorous, but tragic nonetheless. The White House is set to announce on Monday a major new initiative that will place up to 5,000 salad bars in public schools nationwide. And despite uncertainties over how local health inspectors might treat those salad bars, USDA nutrition tracking rules and, well, those and that types of thing, that types of stuff may provide may prove to be cumbersome and bothersome. It might not work out that way. Officials in the White House, led by Chef Sam Klass, who the hell is he, and the U.S. Center for Disease and Prevention, have been working to build a coalition representing the produce industry, and Ann Cooper, Director of Nutrition Services in Boulder, Colorado, schools, who recently teamed with Whole Foods to raise $1.4 million from consumers to establish a grant program that would place salad bars in qualifying schools. Well, what's going to happen when the school children don't, if school children decide not to partake of those salad bars? Have you heard the phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a school child eat salad? I mean, they just don't do that. What is the goal here? To put healthy foods in schools so that the students will go out and head over across the street to McDonald's like we did when we were in school, high school, grade school, that sort of thing. Rarely ever did we eat lunch inside the school. Sometimes we did, just to, you know, be around other friends and, you know, our little groups and all that, and we'd just kind of sit around and pick at the food, but we really didn't eat very much of it. So it's just another example of the nanny state and what the government is trying to do to basically steer us toward a lifestyle that they believe is what is best for us. So here we are, once again, being led by Michelle Obama and her nanny state. She believes that, hey, this is all good. People are going to eat salads. I guess she has to have a mission, right? She has to have something to do. I mean, Laura had something, had her special projects. She had things that she wanted to, you know, get accomplished, and I guess that's okay. You know, if you really want to, you know, you have to pick something, and I guess she picked, picked on fat kids, you know, little chunksters, who chowing down on too many snacks, and she wants everybody to, I mean, if you have a little fat kid in your house and you want them to eat healthy, I guess what you can do is you can just kind of put the food out there and hope they'll eat it, or what? You put some salad out there and some lettuce and some tomatoes and, you know, some cucumbers and that sort of thing. Just kind of set it out there and hope they'll just go get some. What's next? You know, establishing a class within the school that teaches a child that, hey, that salad bar is good for you. Go eat some salad. It sounds bizarre. Okay, moving on. Senate Democrats, including typically mild-mannered Bill Nelson of Florida, lit into President Obama during an unusually tense air-clearing caucus session on Thursday. You've heard about this? Senators and staffers leaked this information to the Politico, which is where I'm reading this, from. Nelson told colleagues, Obama's unpopularity has become a serious liability for Democrats in his state, and blamed the president for creating a toxic political environment for Democrats nationwide, according to two Democrats familiar with his remarks. So the President Obama was supposed to once again come in and set a new tone in Washington. And there are no red states, there are no blue states on the United States of America, blah, 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 blah. And that things were going to be different once he became president. Things were going to, the seas would part and the oceans would clear and the skies would turn all cloudy and the sun would shine and a light would shine down and the whole world would sing Kumbaya. Kumbaya, Obama, Kumbaya. And the whole world would be just a beautiful place because this beautiful, brilliant man would save us from ourselves. He would save the world. He would heal the world. The world would heal. But apparently, just the opposite has happened. One Democrat said that folks were about to come to blows. One Democrat senator who spoke on condition of anonymity, because closed-door sessions are not supposed to be discussed with outsiders, said that it was a circus in that caucus. A caucus circus. A circus caucus. Now, Nelson declined to respond when asked about the incident Thursday night, saying he was in a hurry to leave the Capitol, catch a flight. His spokesman didn't return any requests for comments. So, in interviews after the marathon three-hour meeting, several senators and senior aides told Politico that Nelson was just one of several senators to express anger at White House missteps. And they aired deep concerns about their own political fates if Obama and the Democrat Party leadership can't turn things around by 2012. So maybe George Soros was right. Maybe Barack Obama is not his guy. Maybe President Obama and George Soros didn't quite count on the American people being as vocal as we have been this midterm election cycle. Could it be that the President of the United States and his goal, and that of George Soros, billionaire financier George Soros' goal to fundamentally transform the United States of America, maybe they misjudged the American people, that we're not just a bunch of Homer Simpsons, as one administration official suggested
that Americans don't go along with anything. They're just a bunch of Homer Simpsons.
The name of the administration official wasn't released, but I have it on good authority that an administration official did say that, because it was heard by several others, and it's somewhere on tape, and I think it's on YouTube somewhere. It can be found, and I'll come up with it soon. So perhaps we're not just a bunch of Homer Simpsons, not sheep, who are willing to follow the lead, not gullible know-nothings, who are willing to follow along with Obama and Soros' plan to turn our great country into a socialist utopia. Maybe we're smarter than that. He did not figure on that. And things are going to get a lot worse for President Obama and the Democrats. I believe quite strongly that the Democrat Party leadership believes that Americans are not very bright, that we're not very smart people, that this nation is made up of a bunch of fools who go to work like drones, come home, and all we care about is what we see in front of us at any given time. And most of that has nothing to do with Washington and the news, and that they can put forth any socialist agenda that they feel will get them where they need to go. Now, have you heard about Ray LaHood, another one of Obama's lunatics? It is a power mad. He's Obama's cell phone czar. While America is in debt past its eyeballs, and unemployment remains stuck near double digits, small and large businesses, unions, insurers are clamoring for Obamacare waivers in droves. I want my waiver too, by the way. Don't you want yours? Jihadists are making a mockery of Homeland Security, and border chaos reigns. So, what's one of Obama's administration's top domestic policy agenda? What is one of the Obama administration's top domestic policy agenda items this month? Yeah, you guessed it. Combating distracted drivers. All of this going on. Homeland Security issues, high unemployment, Obamacare driving medical costs through the roof. All the things that are going on in this world. Obama shows up, comes back from his G20 summit empty-handed. The vote coming up for the tax relief, to extend the Bush tax cuts. All of that happening. What's on this administration's agenda? More control. More control over you and me in the form of combating distracted driver issues, texting, cell phone use. Did you miss the million anti-distracted drivers protest march on Washington? And that great grassroots groundswell for federal intervention on our highways and byways? Well, don't worry about it, because you weren't the only one who missed it. Apparently, I missed it too. So, making the cable TV rounds to unveil a public service announcement campaign against the academic epidemic cell phone use and texting on the road, epidemic. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood revealed bizarre and alarming plans on Wednesday to install devices in cars that would block a driver's ability to communicate. Yeah. Yeah. has it gotten crazy over there? Has it gotten crazy enough for you yet? So they're attempting to force feed our kids, no pun intended, foods that they believe is what's best for us. Now they are attempting, among other things, to stop us from using our phones in our cars because they don't believe that that's appropriate, that that's what's best for us. What's next? What's next, America? So I'm anxious to see how this is all going to work out. You want to install devices in our cars to block us from using our phones while we're driving. Apparently, there's a lot of technology out there now that can disable phones, and we're looking into that, he threatened. LaHood, a liberal Republican and pork-addicted Chicago crony, whom embodies Obama's bipartisanship, envisions centralized government mechanisms to shut off commuters' BlackBerries and iPhones. I am not kidding. I know you think I'm making this all up. So let me just read that one more time to you. There's a lot of technology out there now that can disable phones, and we're looking into that. He threatened. LaHood, Ray LaHood, a liberal Republican and pork-addicted Chicago crony who embodies Obama's bipartisanship, envisions centralized government mechanisms to shut off commuters' BlackBerries and iPhones. How long does he think that's going to – how does he think that's actually going to work? I mean, the Obama administration – allegedly is only going to be in power for the next 2 years. And if America is doomed for another 4 years of Obama's rule, then that's 6 years. When is this all supposed to take place? And how long does he think it would stand with a new administration coming in? How do you think that Americans will – what I don't understand about all of this, all this stuff that they want to do is do these people actually believe in this administration that Americans are just going to just stand for this? It is amazing. It's as if they don't understand that they're dealing with American citizens whose idea of freedom – is embedded in our very DNA. I mean, the things that they propose suggest that Americans will go along with anything that they decide is best for us. I mean, the arrogance of this administration is appalling and staggering and bizarre. So while they're coming up with these plans to shut off our cell phones while we're driving, what are we doing about that? They think they can just do that and it's all good?
Well, you know, they shut off my cell phone while I'm driving. So, hey, it's all good. I can't drive and use my cell phone, so I don't really care.
Somebody's going to get in that ass, excuse me, if they keep this stuff up. There's only so far that this regime, the Obama regime, can push Americans until America decides that we're not just going to take this stuff. And you saw that play out during this previous election cycle. Americans decided that they did not like the way that this regime is going about its business. Because, you know, you have to understand that, and I'm sure you, a lot of you do that, Americans didn't vote for Republicans. They voted against Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Max Baucus and all of those people who were attempting, quite successfully, mind you, to undermine our freedoms. So I guess they have blinders on. A lot of these folks simply do not get it. A lot of those folks in Washington simply don't get it. LaHood thinks that this whole thing is just going to go down the way he wants it to go. And he goes on to say, and that's just the start. We need to do a lot more if we're going to save lives, LaHood vowed, while paying obligatory lip service to encouraging personal responsibility. Will the cell phone banners ban radios too? GPS devices? Makeup and fast foods in cars next? I mean, what's next? I have been guilty of reaching over and tuning my radio. I have been guilty of having a burger, maybe some fries while I'm driving, sipping a Coke. According to this administration, that could also be deemed as distracting. So where will it end? Sometimes I think that a lot of Americans believe that, well, you know, that's a good thing, you know, because you can save lives because people shouldn't be driving around, you know, using their phones and texting. You have a lot of accidents like that. Okay, so where does it end? So, it is agreed that any death due to reckless behavior, such as texting while driving or being obsessed with your cell phone, because, you know, honestly, I've seen it driving down the road. A person has the cell phone to their ear and they're holding it and they're just kind of drifting over into my lane. Yes. But I'm on the road every single day. And that's when that happens, it's a rare occurrence indeed. So would I recommend banning every person from having a cell phone or require every person who's driving to have a headset? Simply because on a very rare occasion, I have been known to, I've seen someone driving and kind of drifting? No. What cell phones are, LaHood really means, is controlling lives. There are already 30 states, with laws in place regulating drivers' cell phone and texting habits. Now, the District of Columbia and Guam, they also passed bans. Now, the safety benefits of these laws are in dispute. No doubt about that. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety examined insurance claims and driver habits in Louisiana, Washington, Minnesota, and California, all of which passed texting bans 2 years ago. Its studies found that when compared to neighboring states that had not yet banned texting while driving, those being Arkansas, Texas, and Mississippi, the no-texting states actually reported higher accident rates among young drivers, while the states with no bans maintained consistent accident rates. So safety officials theorize that drivers in no-texting states may have adjusted their habits to hide their cell phone use from visual detection by police, incentivizing even riskier behavior. So basically what they're saying is you enact these inane laws to, quote, save lives, or rather control lives, and we're going to find a way around it that's even more dangerous than what started at the beginning. So, LaHood and his fellow social meddlers have lashed out at the study and any other evidence that state enforcement of these bans is futile. But, as we know, there's a long history of government safety regulations backfiring on central planners. Back in the 70s, the federal drive to require child safety caps on aspirin bottles resulted in no reduction in child poisoning deaths. In fact, renowned risk analyst Kip Visacci at Harvard Law School found that the regulations induced many parents to leave the caps off altogether because they were inconvenient and difficult to remove. So that just made things even worse. So what's really driving LaHood? No pun intended. Here's what it is. What he's doing is pursuing an anti-car ideological zeal. So what he really wants to do is impose mileage taxes on drivers and to track drivers' routes so that he can redistribute tax dollars to pie-in-the-sky high-rail projects that no private business will touch. So he wants to, you know, prevent folks. He wants to discourage people from actually getting in their cars and driving, and actually using commuter rail systems, because there's this whole anti-gas, anti-oil, green economy, green jobs, green. I'm so sick of green. I don't even wear green anymore. I throw my green stuff out. When I'm at the grocery store and they ask if I want paper or plastic, I'm saying plastic. Plastic, plastic, and more plastic. Because I'm sick of all this green crap. Sick of it. So, this is what they're all about. It's a bait and switch. They want to get you to stop driving your cars, stop using gas, drive electric vehicles. It's an attempt to adjust our mindset, to tell us so that they can tell us what's best for us. We don't get to decide anymore. Slowly but surely, throughout the years, our freedoms are being eroded and taken away from us with these bait and switch activities. This bait and switch pie in the sky project. I don't think Americans going to stand for it. We're a lot smarter than they give us credit for. So, LaHood, like the rest of Obama's radical socialist morons, the Transportation Department's self-appointed cell phone czar, is just another power-hungry busybody hiding behind children to expand government's reach. That's what I think. If only federal agencies came equipped with anti-big government ignition breathalyzer locks, that would be great. This is a mess. I mean, how far is this going to go? How far are we going to let this go? Obamacare is a big mess. It's a huge boondoggle. We have union officials suggesting that we should, in order to bring down the deficit, freeze pay for military service personnel, while government pay, other government employees, federal employees right now, are making anywhere from $75,000 to $100,000 a year, while your basic corporal is making $22,000. Well, that's not true. Your basic private first class is making right around $22,000 a year coming out of high school. And we have federal employees roughly around the same age or maybe a little older making anywhere from $50,000 to $150,000 a year. But Andy Stern, formerly of SEIU, the union, suggests that we freeze military pay and freeze military spending in order to bring down the deficit. All the while, his pal, Barack Obama, is funneling millions of dollars to unions throughout this country as payback for assisting him in his campaign efforts to become president. So, moving on. The White House is still pushing the jobs saved or created myth. They can't help themselves. They believe that if you say it enough, that people will actually believe it. All you have to do is get out there and get the message out there, they believe. They'll get the message out there. You get the message out there. Say it, say it, say it, say it, say it, and people will start repeating it. Well, you know, I've had somebody tell me the other day, well, the Obama administration has saved or created 2 million jobs. Give the man time. Oh, my goodness. So the saved or created myth, they're now claiming that the stimulus exceeded the job goals, according to Obama's handpicked council of economic advisors. Even with 9.6 unemployment, this administration cannot stop patting themselves on the back for the stimulus. Instead of trusting the White House, why don't we just go and ask entrepreneurs about the economy and see how they benefited from Obama's porculous package? Not very good. What about the 9.6% unemployment rate? If you've saved or created 2 million jobs and your stimulus or porculous package exceeded its goals, why hasn't that unemployment number come down? Well, the administration would respond that without the porculous, things would have been a lot worse. We'd have 12-13% unemployment. But there's no real way to know that. None, mind you. So, as it turns out, entrepreneurs in the business community don't like this one bit. They state that we have 100,000 fewer companies that employ more than one person than we did 1 year ago. This is the second worst year in the past 18 years, with this year's drop only being exceeded by last year's. On top of that, these companies have added 15% fewer jobs during this recovery than our previous recovery during the first few years of the Bush administration. But they'll talk about it. They'll say, we did more. We did so much more. This White House is so out of touch with the business community, it is beyond alarming. Obama can talk about savior-created jobs all he wants, but when push comes to shove, that measurement has no basis in reality, and Americans know it. I mean, are you kidding? You want to talk about a mess? These folks have, Obama has no idea at all what he's doing. America had elected a moron, a man who has no experience, and it shows. Now let's go with a couple of my favorite lies of the day. I think people demanded this election that we start working together and stop talking past each other. That's what Senator Harry Reid said. Unaware, people want jobs and spending cuts, not compromise. We're pushing immigration. We're punishing immigrants who are victims. We're putting people in prison who are victims. This is wrong, and we have to change that. Dolores Huerta, friend of Cesar Chavez, on America's unfair crackdown on legal immigration. Oh, poor baby. AIT machines are safe, efficient, and protect passenger privacy. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano talking about the TSA imaging machines that emit radiation and display naked images of passengers. She sounds so sexy, doesn't she?
Well, we're doing all we can. We're trying to get everything under control.
Wow. That's not a woman. That's a man, baby. You can't tell me that Janet Napolitano, that's a woman. Are you kidding me? Talk about butch. Okay. From everything I can see, this decision was not one designed to have an impact on the currency, on the dollar. President Bush on the Fed's decision to devalue the dollar. We believe it's imperative to extend the tax cuts for the middle class and don't believe we can afford a permanent extension on tax cuts for the wealthy, David Axelrod, shortly after he said the White House will extend tax cuts for all Americans. I want to flip-flop there. Democrats will strive to work with a new Republican majority to create jobs, strengthen the middle class, and reduce the deficit. Speaker Nancy Pelosi talking about the abrupt change of tactics the Democrats won't be making next year. The American people want us all to reach a happy medium. How are you going to get the economy back up and running otherwise? Representative Dennis Kucinich, all of a sudden interested in compromise. She, Pelosi, is like Winston Churchill. The Dems should be leading her away in a blaze of glory. Wow. I don't even want to repeat who that's from. That's just bizarre. There are so many things going on here, folks. Please be aware. Please pay attention. I know you have lots of things going on in your everyday lives, and that a lot of times you don't have time to keep up with the news and keep up with what's going on in current events, and certainly what's going on in the political arena. The overall political arena. A lot of us are concerned about what's going on, you know, just in our nuclear families and what we're doing you know, on a daily basis, going to work, coming home, taking care of the kids, you know, all of that stuff, that we really don't have a lot of time to focus in on what's going on nationally. But I urge you to pay attention, get involved, voice your concerns, make your voices heard. This is important. It's important to the future of our children. It's important to their futures. I know you think about your children's futures. I know you're concerned about it. What's going on in Washington is having a negative effect, even now, on the futures of your children and mine. It's really, at this point, it's not about us. It's about them. Every day, food prices are going high. Clothing prices are going higher. Gas prices are skyrocketing. It's all done by design. President Obama has said that he wants to, that his goal is to redistribute America's wealth and to fundamentally transform the United States of America. There is no doubt that Obama is a socialist, Marxist, pseudo-socialist, pseudo-communist, and that he is currently working with George Soros, billionaire financier George Soros, to fundamentally transform the United States of America to a place that will be, at some point in the near future, unrecognizable to us all. You know, our parents had a saying that the grass is always greener on the other side. Let's not find out. America is a beautiful place. America is a great country. Quite frankly, there is room for improvement, but not the kind of improvement that President Obama and George Soros are interested in. Well, I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. And be safe. And take care. And we'll talk again, God willing, on Monday.
I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods, and I lost my way. It was getting late, and I was scared and alone. But then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Now Mama couldn't see him, oh, but he was standing there. And I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayers. Oh, somewhere above, they come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger, to lend a helping hand, a phone call. call from a friend just to say I understand. But ain't it kind of funny at the dark end of the road that someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope? Oh, I believe there are angels among us sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide.